Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I am really excited to welcome Michael to the podcast today to share basically some of the interesting experiences that he's having and the way that he's processing it and just interesting stuff that's going on. He is a food and beverage scientist and a biochemist for the last 15 years, with 8 years in the CBD and medical marijuana business. And he has a very diverse CV, also as a musician, moved around a lot. He's just an interesting dude. So I'm very excited to have this conversation and just let it flow where it flows. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate the warm introduction.
So what, because you were one of the people that reached out to me on Instagram after hearing me say that prior to the tinfoil hat, I could not seem to get guys interested in talking about this stuff with me. And it's been amazing ever since I said that. I just clearly was not showing up in the right places, because now there are so many guys that are like, oh yeah, I'm having experiences and I would love to talk about them. It's fantastic. What has, like, you know, brought you to this world of considering spiritual awakening and interesting experiences and things maybe not being as they are presented to be by mainstream
business? Oh, well, that's an interesting breaker. You know, I did move around a lot, had some interesting trauma as a child, got T-boned by an 18 wheeler in Denver. Well, out way outside of Denver when I was about 4 and a half, and
wow,
had the gear shift. Actually, I was sleeping Indian style in the front seat of a 1970 something Mustang II, about the smallest car Ford made at the time. And just got smacked. And so being in the passenger seat with no seatbelt on, that's where we got hit. And it just threw me into the steering column. Actually, the gear shift of the steering column cut a part of my ear and went in the side of my head. So had to have reconstructive skull surgery and kind of some strange stuff that they weren't really too in tune of doing back then. You know, this was 83, I think, 82. Somewhere around there. So obviously medical technology was a little bit different back then. I was one of the first people, I think, to be care flighted. And so it was strange, because since that accident, things kind of were more noticeable, I'd say, both visually and audio. I started to, you know, once I got full motor skills back and my memories kind of were shot prior to that, but post that, things were just kind of come into place. And strangely, I would know where to be. I would just, you know when things were happening, know who was calling, just strange little things. And two, I didn't back then until recently really get into the woo-woo world, is what I call it. You know, and so I think since I've looked back on history and started looking at these instances and other things and how I was always in the right place at the right time, or manifesting these things, so to speak, I just started to create this timeline, this history, and it's strange. You know, there's not much more you can say about just that. There's too many coincidences since then.
That's
kind of where it started, I guess.
That's really fascinating. And it reminds me of, I don't know if you ever saw the program. Oh, I don't remember what channel it was on, but anyway, it was called Psychic Kids. And it would just feature, you know, kids that were struggling because they had activated psychic abilities and felt like total weirdos and didn't know how to control it. And I remember there was this one episode of this boy. And when he was I don't know, in his early childhood, like under the age of 10, he fell out of a tree and hit his head on a rock and got a really severe concussion and some brain damage. But after that, he had abilities that he didn't have before. It reminds me of that. Because four is so young. Mm-hmm. It's so young. And like you barely have, I think, just being around kids a lot and remembering being a kid myself, you barely have an idea of who you are when you're four. You just take a lot of things for granted, you know, because you're just dipping along in your experience and, you know, you don't, it's not like being a teenager and getting all your hormones and all your horrible crippling self-awareness. and so you're not like questioning everything about yourself on a deep level at four. So do you remember what you were like before that? Or was it so traumatic that that's kind of where your memories begin?
It's 50-50. It's actually, it's 25-75. I'd say I do remember, I have memories, I guess, before the accident. But those are the ones that came to me after the accident. Right. So I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. To tell you honestly, I think that what I do remember prior to the accident was very, you know, specific and fun times as a child, or, you know, very specific memories. Only very few, you know, maybe a handful, but that's it. And then, you know, once my brother was born, my first youngest brother, I'm the oldest of three. And when he was born with neuroblastoma, mm-hmm. cancer of the kidneys, and the kid just went through the hell, you know, he went through stuff that most adults couldn't take. And mm-hmm. as an infant, and he, poor kid, didn't have hair until he was like three. I mean, he's just bald and a funny little chubby kid, but got through it. And I remember seeing him in the hallway, and he was two, just out of the hospital, out of the children's. And he was sitting in the hallway, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. He was supposed to be in bed. I grabbed my mom, because he was just talking to the wall, like sitting on one side of the hall, talking to the other side of it. And my mom walked up to him and then put him in bed, put me to bed. And I was like, well, who was he talking to? And she said, Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and that was the first memory I have of like strangeness. And I remember Chris couldn't even really speak, you know, barely, you know, he couldn't put together sentences for God's sakes. You know? He was sitting there half speaking English and half whatever, you know, toddler talk, I guess you call it. But the look on his little face was like, he was understanding everything, you know. It was strange. I remember seeing that. And then just, like I said, it just kind of spiraled from there. And it wasn't every day. It wasn't even monthly. You know, I had a time lapse when I was, I think, 10, you know, waiting on a friend to go outside and play, you know. And so my mom called his mom. Hey, you know, this is before cell phones, obviously. You'd have your mom's call for a playtime or whatever. And she was like, well, you got to wait 15 minutes and then you can leave. And so I went into the other room, and I remember I was kind of pacing back and forth. And then I just remember taking a really slow step, and then another really slow step, and then another really slow step. And then I kind of felt, you know, like I was just walking, I don't know, walking in water, I guess, would be the best description. But you're not wet, you're just, the air is just thick, real mm-hmm. real thick. And then I looked down, and it had been 15 minutes. And I mean, it was, if it was 30 seconds, I'd be surprised. Now, could that be concussion related? I don't know. It's still a very vivid experience in my mind, and the memories, just like it was yesterday. And yeah, I mean, she was yelling for me, are you going over to Michael's house? You know, just so it's strange in its way. But, you know, as a child, it was just all those little things that I just now started to, I guess, look back upon and realize like what was really going on, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. And do you feel like, has this stuck with you your whole life?
Off and on, I kind of numbed it for a while in my 20s, you know, as we all do for a while, just went to Colorado to kind of, I went there to meet a snow bunny, you know, and be a ski lift operator. And I was originally from Denver, so I had family there and I was living in Texas at the time. I just wanted to change, met a Hawaiian and ended up marrying her and being happily together for almost 20 years. But all that being said, it was just a path I thought I had to take. And when I was up there, I didn't really, I was, you know, playing music. I was drinking a lot. You know, I think I tried every strain of cannabis on the planet at that time. You know, it was really just networking and having fun and, you know, doing still working here and there, but just part time. And then when I moved back to Texas, it was like it just started all over again. So, and then recently, you know, my wife passed away of cancer, you know, a little over 2 years ago. And so I moved to a ranch in a beautiful spot of Oklahoma, southern, south central Oklahoma, not too far from the Lake Texoma. Well, little beknownst to me, you know, I'm on Indian land and all this stuff. So it's kicked up in, you know, warp speed out here. I mean, to the point to where my kids don't live with me right now, to the point to where I'm ready to move and like take a loss on on the property almost, you know, just too many weird, you know, coincidences. I've had lightning strike near me 3 times.
Wow.
You know, yesterday my car hit 4 birds, you know, 5 birds on the, you know, just going 10 miles.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were like flying in front of me.
Yeah.
To the point to where I told my girlfriend, I was like, do we stop? You know, is this apocalyptic shit? You know, like, I just killed 2 cardinals and a couple sparrows and I was only doing 45, you know, and I felt awful. I felt, you know, whatever, but it's just strange. Weird things keep happening here. And I know I'm on some funky land. I've found out quite a bit since, you know, the history of the place since moving here. Good God, if I knew this, I would have never purchased this property because it just amped up my daughter. She has a lot of the same intuitive properties that I do and probably times 10, quite honestly. And we've had to deal with a lot with her. She's actually had to go seek, you know, professional help because of this place. And just, you know, the lockdown, I think, was a big part of it as well, you know, the isolation. But yeah, it's been a funky ride the last 2 years, to say the least. That, and then moving out here was just the icing on the shit sundae, so to speak.
Right. But it sounds like you kind of had some respite where, like, for the time that your wife was alive and you were together, you kind of had like a more or less normal life. Is that accurate?
Pretty accurate. I mean, I don't know if that's why she was here, you know,
to give you a break, big part of it.
You know, I know that without her, I couldn't balance my checkbook. You know, the electricity got shut off after she passed. I didn't know how to pay my bills. You know, that's how much influence and control she had now. And I don't say control, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah, it was a good long time there that really not a whole lot of things were going on. There were some stuff. There were a couple of instances that we had in Colorado that I don't attest to anything that, you know, I manifest or dealt with or, you know, had anything to do with, but just weird scenarios out there. But that's just living in Colorado, I think. You can live out there and see weird stuff nightly. And especially where we were right almost less than 2 miles from Cheyenne Mountain. So a lot of activity going on there. It was kind of cool to see, watch the skies.
That's really cool.
Yeah, if you ever want to go just lay out in some foothills, 470 Wadsworth is where it's at. Sorry to give that location up, people.
470 Wadsworth.
470 and Wadsworth out there near Littleton. It's right there, you know, Lockheed, all those big boys working out there. So it's a fun place to go sit and sky watch for the night.
Well, there you go. Everybody who listens to my show who is UFO and alien enthusiasts, you have just heard of a place to go and watch the skies that apparently they're more active there. The skies here where I live are not active at all. But I just think maybe I'm somebody that doesn't have strong alien connections. I don't know. I'm cool with it. It doesn't matter. So, but then you move to this place and it's got some bad hooju, eh? Like the land is just, does it feel like negative or just super?
It didn't at first. It really didn't. And, you know, I actually had some people come out, you know, bless it. I did sage, you know, prayers, different. One was a Buddhist. We had, you know, I had some right off the bat, because when you're also, I'm a believer and you need to bless the land and ask the land for its permission to, you know, if you're farming or doing things like that, especially out here, you know? And so I don't think that awoken anything. I think there's always been stuff. There's a big pond out back and it's huge, full of fish. And there used to be a railroad back there on the berm of the pond. And, you know, that was a stopping station for many things. And I don't know what's in there. I'm not going to grab a big magnet and start fishing in that thing, you know? My friends want me to do that, but there's no way. There's something linked to that pond, I think. And, you know, I just stay out of it. You know, me and the kids have gone back there numerous times and there's nothing malicious or anything. It's just something I don't really feel too, enthusiastic about running out there and swimming in or anything like that. So, you know, I have a guy who works for me. And he comes and stays up here in the mother-in-law's suite, whatever you want to call it, above the garage. And, you know, he has seen more shit than I have probably out here when it comes to this place. You know, we had to remodel a big 50 by 50 shop out there and get it ready for a grow installation. And it was, honestly, I think it was like November 10th of 2019. Somewhere, and I only remember that because it was right around my son's birthday. So I'm in the back, and he's in the back of the grow area. And we were remodeling this area, getting it ready to put a lab in there and such. And the door flew open, and this is a metal door, mind you. And you got to kind of put your shoulder into it if you're inside to open the thing, because it's a shop, you know. It was a shop, and so. For it to just fly open, number one, was kind of strange. Number two, it's like the way it flew open, you would have had to have a kick to it, kind of. And so, we both immediately snap our necks and look to attention, and there's this, like, shadow, but very not just a shadow. You can see this guy, and it's a straight-up buffalo, crazy-looking headdress fucking, you know, I'm about pissing my pants. Matt looks at me, you know, we're wide as a ghost, and that thing just kind of disappeared. But it was, you could hear it breathe, you know, like it was not a person or a dude, you know what I mean? Like a guy in a suit, you know, like you could hear this fucking thing, you know, breathing like a fucking cow or horse or something. And then just there was, you know, just a frozen wind about everything. I mean, it was freezing fucking cold. You know, where it wasn't super duper cold that day anyway, but just a wild ass one that we both saw at the same time. You know, I get chills talking about it right now. I know if he was here, he doesn't even like messing with it. His girlfriend was trying to tell him something about like, oh, that had to be there for you. You know, I honestly, I have no Indian in me. You know what I mean? Like I'm not a huge, I believe in the spirits, and I believe in people can manifest a lot of stuff. And I think that was just something trying to tell us something, but to this day, I have no idea what, But it did scare the ever living loving piss out of both of us. You know, there's confirmation to that story, and but there's also, we go to a little place. There's little things all the time. There's a little place up the road that we'll go to, and the guys get done. You know, I'll take them up for a beer after work, and the soda gun that sits at the bar, right? And it just sits in a little holster, I guess you call it, that's connected to the bar, and the lady would pick it up and fill drinks or whatever with it, right? Well, she the bartender would be completely outside the bar doing something else, and anytime I'm standing over there, the fucking thing jumps out of that thing and hits the cooler or the sink that, you know, the stainless steel sink that it's sitting on top of. And it happens, that happens every 2 out of 3 times I go to that place. And there's specific people, regulars, of course, that sit there in front of that damn thing, and it scares them worse than it scares me. I'm kind of used to it now, but you'll see a 350-pound pipeline welder jump out of his overalls. You know, it's pretty damn funny. The owner of the bar tells me, she's like, it only happens when you're here. That's the only time. All the bartenders say the same thing. It's really kooky.
Oh, wow. So it's like, I was just thinking, like, sort of starting to come to a conclusion, like, okay, it's not just your land. It's like maybe the area, but no, it's you. There's something about you that like activates it.
I don't know. Going back to the accident, I think whatever those, you know, God bless those doctors, I'm here, but whatever they did, you know, was awesome. But I think it changed my harmonics somehow. Mm-hmm. And like when we talk about resonance and all these things, well, what was I doing the whole time I was with Leilani? I was playing music at raves, you know. I wasn't just numbing myself with alcohol and other things. I was frequency numbing myself on a daily basis, whether I was practicing or building, you know, rebuilding cabinets and speakers for the pros that were coming in or whatever, you know. I was harmonically just blocking everything. I had headphones on for 16 years. So right. I think that has something to do with it. I don't know. My intuition tells me that has something to do with it. I haven't touched them, you know, since I haven't touched them in 4 or 5 years, all this shit keeps happening.
That's really, really interesting. And I mean, a lot of the time in my Facebook group, when I'm talking, just sort of ranting about intuitive development and stuff like that, I don't like to focus on the negative entities because I don't want to scare people. I feel like we've been so scared for so long out of using our gifts of like, you know, ooh, the boogeyman's there. But that being said, I do definitely acknowledge that there are, you know, there are very benevolent beings in spirit that have nothing but our well-being in mind, or however you want to put it. And then there's a whole spectrum of other ones that, you know, range from just being confused and discombobulated and maybe aggressive because of that, to being like literal tricksters and don't necessarily want to like ruin your life, but will enjoy fucking with you a little bit for shits and kicks. And yep. And then there's like the ones that would love to just take over, basically like take over the vehicle and drive it off a cliff. And so I do kind of talk about that sometimes, and I say that it has everything to do with your frequency. And I think that's what you're talking about, but you really relate it to music, which makes total sense because music is frequency, but like it's the coherence and the smoothness and it's not necessarily that it has to be in a higher octave. That's just kind of the way like we understand things as like higher and lower, but that's limited human understanding. But it's like coherence versus incoherence, I think.
Well, have you ever like been to a professional audio place where they're testing things, you know, they're testing before a concert and you hear them play some subsection of a song, just really getting a range of the speakers or something, and your body sometimes reverberates, you know?
Yeah.
That's just like a tuning fork, I think. And, you know, playing all these little shows and stuff that I did, it wasn't big. But I would get that almost every time. And it's not butterflies in your stomach before a, you know, a place I had a residency at. You know, it's not, it wasn't that, it was just like, it was like, I would listen to whatever, I could listen to whatever anybody else was playing, and I could kind of, you know, close my eyes and I would get the chills for, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then I could walk into any booth and just throw a record on and go, you know? And I think it's putting your mind and body in that kind of state, you know, where you're just, you know, you just know, I think athletes know how to turn it on.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of people in high positions, CEOs and stuff like that, when they walk into those meetings, they turn it on. I've seen it, you know, I think it's recognizable in certain, especially strong, talented, you know, individuals who are at the top of their game. You can definitely see it.
Yeah, it's like a degree of mastery, right? It's like your ability to tap into a frequency that is would be described as like coherent or a flow state, and just being able to do that at will.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking Donnie Darko shit here. You know, I think that would be amazing. Don't get me wrong, but I think just learning to recognize synchronicities and instances within your own brain subconsciously.
Yeah.
And you act upon those subconsciously. And you're like, why, you know, for sports, for instance, why was I always in the right place at the right time? Well, you repetitively play that sport enough, your subconscious is going to tell you where that ball is going to go. You know, you've done it. Your muscle memory alone, you know, is going to contribute to that. And so I think it's the same way in life when you're, you know, in your daily routine, or if you're the type of career that you don't really necessarily have a daily routine, someone like me, I mean, you just start to, you're half manifesting and you're half going along with it, I guess is the way I kind of describe it. One good story is that, you know, we were leaving here I was taking the kids to school. It's about 6:30 and I woke them up. I was like, hey, you know, instead of breakfast, you guys want to leave a little early and get some donuts, you know, before we go to school. Like, yeah. And the reason I did that is I was talking to my buddy the night before. I was like, man, I've seen so many deer lately. I really don't want to hit one. And I told myself that morning, I said, I'm going to take the kids to school early, you know, before sunrise, which in hindsight was a dumbass decision because there's way more deer running around at that point than there was at later in the morning, obviously. So of course we get out in my truck and we leave and it's cold as balls and don't even get a mile down the road, boom, nail a deer. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, you know, can I manifest a bucket of gold? You know, why do I do this shit all the time? I told my girlfriend the other day, I was like, you know, I'm going to go and do some stuff. I need to pay the electricity bill a little early because, you know, all these people and I just don't want anything to happen tomorrow. And sure enough, we lost power, you know, the next day.
Really? Even though you paid the electricity bill early? So it wasn't because your account was overdue. It was for some other reason?
No, it was because I have a grow, you know, and some stuff here on the ranch. And so we get like $2,500 a month electric bills all the time. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to go and take care of that. I don't want to be the low man on the, you know, totem pole when they start cutting people off, you know, for these blackouts and stuff, but it didn't matter. Obviously we needed to all contribute. I shut down one of my grows actually just to stop hitting the grid so hard. Hopefully in a few weeks we can turn it back on, but hindsight, yeah, it's been a fun electrical outage. And, you know, I mean, I think if I talk about it so much and if I think about it enough, and it's not big things, it's only, I've only been able to notice it when it's small stuff, but these aren't, like I said, they're not just coincidences. It happens, the manifestation stuff happens, not daily, but damn near.
Well, do you think it's manifestation or precognition or a combination of both?
I have no clue. That's why I'm talking to you. Don't make me go all Sam on you now. That's your job, lady.
That's my job.
That's well, why the guy. That's why you're getting guys to call in now, because you went on his show. We all love that guy. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, he big ups to them. By the way, I love that show and listen to it all the time. But yeah, they make you think. You know,
they do. I love it, but they're also light and funny about it.
Well, I love his animation. I'm not gonna lie, he gets so fired up, and his pure passion that Sam has in every guest. It's incredible how he can muster that up all the time.
Yeah, and he has like 5 shows. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, brother, but thank you for all of your contributions. You're very generous.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, so as I listen to you, I mean, it's hard for me to tell without actually going into your Akashic records, but it sounds like it's probably more precognition. And there's always a manifestation element in so far as like what we put our attention on is way more likely to mm-hmm. bloom into our experience of reality. But there's also like when it's something that you haven't, because this is the way I understand manifestation and it works pretty well. I'm a fucking good manifester. So, so I'm taking my own word for it, but I feel like one of the hallmarks of manifestation on Earth that makes it hard for us to believe in it is that it's seldom instant. Sometimes it can be instant when there's almost no resistance at all. And that might be what you're experiencing, but it's seldom instant because whatever we're manifesting has to get charged up by our emotions. So it's based on beliefs that we have, and beliefs are thoughts that we think so often that it crystallizes in our mind as a reality. And then we collect evidence, or we see evidence, we experience evidence in support of that. And so it makes it feel even more real. So that's the belief part, but every belief that we have is accompanied by an emotional charge. And that's the really magnetic part that draws, you know, things into physically manifested reality. But in order to physically manifest, it's like it's energy moving at extremely high vibrational rates. And then the vibration has to slow down into physicality. So the third dimension to me is like a bandwidth of vibration that is pretty slow relative mm-hmm. to the other ranges. And it reminds me of a visible light spectrum. Like there's this whole spectrum of wavelengths, and the third dimension is just a certain one that we are in and we experience, and it's pretty slow. So in order for energy to manifest as a subatomic particles and then come together and create an atom, they require a certain amount of stability. And then to then create molecules and chemicals, they require even more stability. And it's a lot of organization, and they have to, you know, it happens slowly. It's a process, is I guess what I'm mm-hmm. saying. And so, for example, with the deer, unless you were thinking frequently, which you might have been because you went through an extremely traumatic collision when you were really little that completely changed your life. But unless you're kind of like low-key in the background thinking about and worrying about collisions and the safety of your children in a vehicle all the time, which again might be the case, then probably like that might be one case. Or it could just be that you just got this thought, like, you know, it just occurred to you in a precognitive way, like in a way that's almost too fast for your brain to grasp onto, right?
Yeah,
just this thought of like deer, car hit. Don't want.
I was trying everything I could to avoid it, but yeah, like, walked me right into it.
Yeah. It reminds me of this time when I was in grade 5 and I was getting my picture taken for the yearbook, and I was like, oh, I really hope I don't blink. It's really bright out here. And then I thought to myself, if I close my eyes when they take the picture, then I definitely won't blink. So there's this yearbook picture of me with the stupidest smile and my eyes closed.
Someone needs to find that.
Oh gosh, I'll post it. I'm not ashamed. It's hilarious. So anyway, it kind of reminds me of that, like just where
That's
you're
awesome.
Like, I'm gonna leave at pre-dawn and avoid all the deer.
I know, it's like that was the dumbest thought process ever. That's when hunters are like so happy, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it's coming up. Time to kill them all.
The prime time, yeah. Well, it's not dumber than closing your eyes so you don't blink.
No, that's good.
But yeah, and then also, what was the other one? Oh yeah, the electricity one. It sounds to me like you're experiencing precognition. Because like, for example, manifesting a bunch of gold, you can totally do that, but you just have a bunch of beliefs that contradict that then you have to sort of like, you know, loosen those up and move them out of your field and adopt new beliefs that are in support of a whole bunch of money coming your way, and then practice those until they feel totally like real, irrefutably real. Mm-hmm. And the money just pops in. So it's usually kind of slow for those reasons. And yeah, so that's what I think. Without going into your records, just listening to you, that's what I think is happening, is you're having precognition.
It does make total sense. I mean, and I, like I said, that's why I'm calling you. I don't know what's going on, you know. And I've been, up until recently, you know, too shy to really talk about it. Well, now I don't give a shit, you know. The world's ending anyways, what's going on? So let's get it all out there right now, right? So, you know, I figured it was time to contact someone like you. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I really need to find somebody. And then, and wasn't even basing it on Akashic Records. And then that, you know, I hear that podcast, I'm like, well, there's my answer, you dumbass, you know, reach out to this lady, let's get this going. And, you know, there's not, when you go through the stuff, like what I've been through, therapy and all that kind of stuff, it's okay. Let's just say that, you know, it'll explain a few things. And it's good, it's wonderful for my children. They need it and require it, and it's something that I won't stop for a long time with them until they're ready. But for an adult, I think it's something with trauma, PTSD, you know, depending upon the severity and many other causes and variables, it really is the person and the amount of trauma and what they're willing to take on the daily and keep moving forward with. And at one point you just kind of say, all right, you know, I'm sick of keeping this inside. We need to figure out a way to process all this and move forward, not move on, you know.
Mm.
And I think that's what's happening with me. I think it's happening with a lot of people, you know. I've seen it with a lot of teenagers, a lot of kids, you know, that, around my kids, that are just going through hell through this lockdown and all these weird times and this big major mind shift that the world is going through. It's so hard on these children. I mean, it's especially if they're, you know, 13 or 10 up to, you know, what I still consider a kid, 25, you know, until those brains are fully developed. They're walking around in a world that they can't believe anything right now. How scary would that be? You know, you can only believe your parents. And even then you're questioning that. And it's with this media and just everything, we can't shield them from everything. And it's so, I can see why they're having so much trouble.
Yeah, it's just even hard to wrap my mind around, because exactly like you have, first of all, being a teenager is fucking miserable.
Awful. I'm glad you said that.
It's so hard. Like, I had a normal teenagehood. I was so fortunate. Like, I had friends and I didn't hate school. There were a lot of things I didn't enjoy about it, but I didn't hate it. I wasn't bullied. I had two parents who were married, and you know, they have their own things. They're humans, but they weren't being disrespectful to each other, you know, like they're keeping it together, being good stalwart people. And I was safe at home. Like, I had all these boxes checked, and yet the just getting your hormones and the huge expansion in your self-cognition and your like your
self-security.
Yeah. Your self-awareness becomes, it's like it's suddenly on boards, like in this like you know, huge dose, and you're just cripplingly self-aware, and it's just horrible. And navigating the social world is like excruciating. And that's just in normal circumstances with many exactly. things to my advantage. I just can't even, and like also the way that teenagers, you're right, like they're growing up in the world where they not only can they not believe anything, but they don't necessarily know, like the teenagers are pretty smart too though, right? Like they have this beautiful cockiness where they can see through all the disingenuous adults.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand how much like adulthood kind of like
requires that.
Yeah, I was gonna say kind of like butt fucks you into submission, kind of like yeah, you know,
exactly.
And you just end up figuring out coping mechanisms that you put it much more delicately than I did.
I've had a little more time in the corporate world, I guess.
You figure out how to adapt, and that often means presenting a lie because you don't feel safe being honest, right? But teenagers don't realize that yet. And they can sense out people's like disingenuous presentations, and they feel totally smugly superior about it. And so they already have that, but then living during a time where they're, you know, the narrative keeps changing. All the time, and also where they receive programming through entertainment media to distrust their parents. It's just it's a very intense time, and for sure it's really hard. And I think therapy is, I just think having the opportunity to talk to somebody, and where you're paying them, so they're going to listen to you. Like there's an energetic exchange, right? Because when you're talking to your friends, for example, the energetic exchange is kind of like, well, okay, you're going to talk about your shit and I'm going to talk about my shit, so that it's kind of even. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have stuff that you just need to offload, and you don't have the energy to hold anybody else's stuff. And that's why we pay for it. So that is really beneficial. And there are a lot of really gifted therapists that just know how to listen and hold a story, and how powerful even that is to just be witnessed. But I definitely think that there are limits to therapy, especially because it's a regulated profession. So it means that, and any therapist that, like if you were to bring your experiences to a therapist, you know, the right one might be interested and might figure out a way to justify it by collecting information to write a book using pseudonyms, or to be working on a study. But I think a lot of them are sort of like bound by their professional sort of status quo, mm-hmm. and accepted in their field by their peers. And so when you want to talk about, when you're like, I'm having some wild experiences and my land, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's producing some weird stuff, man. And and I'm not on drugs, you know, like it'd be different if I was taking shrooms and, you know, running around there naked playing flashlight tag, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't believe me at all, but we're working,
you know? Yeah. And it's like, how is your therapist supposed to help you through that? Like a certain therapist probably could, but generally speaking, the profession, it does have its limitations, where when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's just like.
Well, and there's some more graphic and different stories I'll tell you offline, obviously, and we'll take those somewhere else maybe. But the stuff that happens, I would say, when there's workers here, when there's people here, and it's not just me, that's all kind of fine and dandy. And you know, I think the scariest thing was the one that I told you, as far as when anybody else was around. Elizabeth, I think, you know, if you talk to her, because she's witnessed so much shit with me, you know, once the pandemic started, she basically moved in. I didn't want her, you know, alone and hanging out there by herself. So, you know, it kind of was a good time to just have her go over here. And I mean, she started seeing it right along with me. I mean, to the point to where it was like, you need to talk to, she's telling me I need to talk to people, you know, and talk to him in this manner, not go to therapy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's very in tune, I think, and I think awake enough, quote unquote, to see what's going on as well. She's witnessed almost everything I, you know, mentioned that's happened since I've been here. And there's, like I said, there's probably another hour worth of strangeness on the old ranch. And there's probably another good couple of hours of weird childhood experiences too. But I think what it all boils down to is how does one try to, I guess, take all these repressed, some repressed memories, some regular memories, and piece this together and make any kind of sense of it, process it, and either, you know, recognize this stuff more frequently and not at least understand it, you know? And that would be kind of the goal for me, at least. And I hope others, you know, can do the same thing. It's just like, you know, you have to talk about it. It's not weird, you know? And I think the taboo is gone. That's why it seems easier. You know, I'm not working in a corporate world anymore. So I don't have to, you know, answer to anybody or anything like that. So it's kind of, I don't worry about what anybody thinks of me. You know, I don't have social media really and doing that shit. So for me, it's like, whatever, I don't have anything to lose. And I'd rather just start processing and figuring things out than sit back and just keep watching the poltergeist weirdness around me going on and not having any clue what the hell's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, well, I have to agree that it feels like the taboo is lifting for everybody, but that's interesting that you're just at a point where you're like, I don't even care anymore.
Fuck it, right?
I don't have a boss to answer.
That means you're over 42 is what that means. I had to order fucking bifocals this year. That's what that, you don't fucking care when you order bifocals and you get a gray chin. That's it, you know? You just look at girls, you're like, dude, I remember when I used to hit on women like you. You know, like, I don't even, and I mean, I got a girlfriend, so I don't do anything like that anyway. But I mean, for that little split time I was single, I was like, Jesus, I don't want any part of any of this. You know, like, I'm old now. You hit after 40, it's just the truth. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, well, that's what my husband reports. He's over 40, and he's definitely like, it's just a different game. It's just a different game.
It is.
Just you wait till you get here, and I'm like,
you're fighting just to keep alive. You don't have to look good anymore. Let's just fucking keep moving. You know, like, it's not even about aesthetics at all. You know, just keep the shit mobile rolling downhill. That's all.
Well, I'm looking forward to sort of hearing some of the other things and, you know, just supporting you in whatever capacity to help you figure out what's going on. But it sounds very interesting, but also really uncomfortable to be on land that is so active. And especially when you're already a person that's been experiencing this stuff, but then to have it ramp up to the point that your kids aren't comfortable being there anymore and that other people are experiencing it too. And you're actually like thinking about cutting your losses and
yeah, and I've never done that. So it's defeating when you think about it, but it's also like what, you know, it's torn my family apart basically. You know, my kids are staying with my parents, going to school in Texas while I'm shoring things up here. And yeah, that's, you know, that's unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable to my late wife. You know, it's just, I gotta get a control of whatever is going on here or move on, you know, yeah, with my family. So that's a sticky predicament. So
that's a predicament for sure. Well, I'll let you save those other stories for off the record.
Thank you.
Yeah. The other things that, so sorry, listeners, you're not privy to this information, but hopefully you enjoyed our conversation anyway. And just like sort of exploring and examining these like weird things. I think that one of the coolest parts of the conversation for me was hearing you draw that connection between your brain and your harmonics and the fact that you spent so much time sort of like tuned into music during that period where the activity was a lot lower in prevalence for you. That was just totally cool and mind-blowing for me.
that was fairly new to me as well. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on and letting me go diarrhea mouse on you.
Well, you're in good company.
Well, you guys, you know, just give me a shout. Let me know. I'd like to speak to you a little bit more about setting up a session or whatever we need to do.
Yeah, okay, sure. So I'll just close out the podcast, but I'll keep the line on. So thank you everybody for listening. As always, I just appreciate your attention very much, because I know that there's a lot of competing podcasts and YouTube channels and BitChute channels and music and movies and Netflix and Hulu and all the things. So it really means a lot to me that I get a little slice of your attention when I do. And I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. Catch you on the next episode. Hello, beautiful soul. Thank you so much for listening to Third Eye Awakening. If you love the show and you want to show me some support, as well as get some rich and awesome extra content, then you can support me through Rockfin or Patreon. It really goes a long way to help me create Third Eye Awakening and keep it free for everyone and ad-free, because isn't that nice? Isn't it so nice to listen to a podcast without any ads on it? I feel like it is. No shade to anybody who puts ads on their podcast, but I just love creating content and I love having ad-free content. So in order to do that, I've created a Rockfin account and a Patreon account with all kinds of juicy conversations and solo rants and riffs and sort of trainings on spiritual topics, metaphysical topics, just cool shit to anchor in some of that multidimensional light consciousness and expand your mind. Thank you always so much, whether you choose to support or not. It just means the world to me to have you listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode. I appreciate you more than my words could ever say. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share, and I will catch you on the next episode.